That is a sound you'll probably hear throughout this morning, is a coughing. Because we have several people that are continuing to struggle with it, such as myself and some of you and some that are not here. We still have people missing today. It seems like these people are missing because they're sick this week, and this people are for the last 4 weeks, we've been hit pretty hard here. So, but we will make it through. But I'm getting tired of it myself, and I know some of you are too. It just keeps cycling back around and won't let go. It's a tough one for some reason this year. But about a week from now, I think I saw 3 days at 50, so hopefully we're going to have an early spring. But it is good to be here this morning. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, knowing and remembering that some of our brothers and sisters across the rest of the world cannot meet as we do for fear of persecution and being arrested and some being put to death. And it doesn't take long to find some place where they are being still persecuted. So anyway, just remember our freedoms that we have here, not to take them lightly. But if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in John chapter 8 today. And if you all football fans, I think it's over, but then they created a new football league. I don't know if it's any good or not. But I'm a NASCAR fan, so NASCARs are starting today. So, yeah, there's no amens on that, but that's okay. There's a few of us in the house that like it, but anyway. As you also had start to turn over to John chapter 8, just want to remind you that there are some things that we prayed for and we fasted for last month in our vision, on our vision day and our vision month, our week of prayer and fasting. One was that we would have more, that we would start to grow, and that we would grow through salvations and baptisms, which is amazing because we've already had two salvations, and I think we've already had one baptism this year. So that's really good. That's God blessing prayer and fasting. And I think we have some more baptisms coming up. And I'm also looking forward to all those that signed there that's going to continue to share the gospel. We also prayed for financial growth. And in the ministries, we just received, we inherited, someone had died and gave us $25,000. So that was unexpected. That is something that the Lord has blessed us with. Let me tell you, prayer and fasting works. Prayer and fasting works. And we're also, the other third part was the leadership training. Leadership training. We will continue to grow as leaders in this church. And I see that, and it is happening. And so good things is happening. It's awesome. And prayer and fasting is where it's at. Amen? All right, so we're going to be in John chapter 8. Many of you know about the woman caught in adultery, but there's a lot more going on in this story than just this woman. There is a lot more going on than just this woman. And the Pharisees are at this point where they, as Pharisees and these scribes, Jesus was come down into the temple for the day, and they got together, and they wanted to try to trip him up. They wanted to try to trip him up because they were jealous of him, and they wanted to find something to accuse him of. This is just something that continued to happen while Jesus was on the earth. Because truthfully, this is what it is. The world couldn't really handle Jesus. The world could not handle him. In John chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came and again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such a woman should be stoned, but what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they had continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus was when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So what we see here, what we see sometimes we do in this story right there, but the story does continue because there are more than just her and Jesus and those who brought them there and more. There's a lot of people there. There's a lot of people. Remember, Jesus was teaching. But I want to share with you that some people have this idea. I want to get this out. Some people have this idea that my body belongs to me. I can do with it as I please. Now, in this world, if you want to live that way, you can live that way. But once you become a believer, your body belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. Now, I believe in the Bible. How about you? And if you do, I want you to turn with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible tells us how to live. Did you know that? The Bible tells us how to live. It tells us how to work through our problems. It tells us how to work through some situations and issues. It tells us how to get through things and over things. And it tells us how to live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there's a piece here. It talks about this whole thing about the body. And let's see what God's Word says about it. In verse 18. It says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, that is a message in itself. But I want to clarify to you that the Bible says your body doesn't belong to you. No matter what the world tells us, the body is a temple. And if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So there is a holiness that is inside of you. It's not from you, it's from the Lord Himself. It's God's Spirit working with your spirit, because you can't live right without His Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I got to go, so the Comforter will come." So we have this obligation to live our life and to take care of the body that we have. Now we're going to come back to that, okay? Now the crowd is there. Okay, the crowd is there. And I want to remind you about the crowd, okay? The crowd that brings them in. There's always going to be a crowd. Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's people in the church, unfortunately, neighbors. There's always going to be a crowd. And there's always, that crowd is usually always quick to make a judgment call. Whether the judgment is right or wrong, whatever they say is true or false, there's always quick and very impatient, which causes problems. Okay? So the crowd is doing this and they make a hasty judgment, which makes hasty action. So they're bringing this woman in, which is set up by the Pharisees, just to let you know. They set this up. Got some people. They always love to get some people to do their dirty work for them. So they go and they get this woman. And they bring this woman in. Now you got to remember, this woman was not gossiped about being, we heard you were in an adultery over there across town. Now, this woman was caught in the act. Was caught in the act of sex with somebody else that wasn't hers. That wasn't who she was married to. So she was caught in the act. And they're bringing, the mob has brought her in front in the temple. In the temple, bringing it to the temple, bringing it into the church house. All her junk exposed. All the stuff she's doing. I want to tell you, let's look at this woman for a minute. This woman is coming in, and she is definitely embarrassed. And let me remind you, sin can do that. Okay? Publicly disgraced. Sin can do that. Can publicly disgrace you. Publicly disgraced. She's scared and now she's afraid. Okay? Sin can do that. Make you afraid. Broken and humiliated. Broken and she's humiliated. And sin does that. And now you're the theme. She's the theme of gossip and talk. A finger pointing. And sin does that. And her mind tells herself, and she tells herself, there is no way I'm getting out of this. There's no way that I'm getting out of this. She knows that she's in trouble. This is what sin is. This is how it happens. And she's standing in the temple. Once again, if you have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 20. She's standing there. Her accusers are all around her. The Pharisees are there. The scribes are there. They don't make a judgment call. They ask Jesus to make a judgment call. They ask Jesus to make a judgment call. Asking Jesus, what would you do? Because there's two things here. Because we just read that the Pharisees, they're trying to find a way to accuse Jesus. There is a test that they're putting him through. They want him to fail. They want him to fail this test so they can have something to accuse him with. People don't read the book of Leviticus. It's the old law. That's why people that don't want to read Leviticus. Leviticus is convicting. That's why people don't want to read it. Leviticus brings up your old junk in the past that you don't want to talk about no more. Or the hidden sins you don't want to talk about no more. It just does. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10 says, our God is saying these things. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's it. She should be put to death. They were trying to trick Jesus. They knew Jesus knew what the law was. But in fact, though, they were under Roman authority. Roman authority says you can't put no one to death. Only Romans can. So if you break one, you've got to break the other. You break this one, you break that one. You break that one, you're going to break this one. In fact, they weren't even doing it themselves. They wouldn't have done it themselves. Because they would have been arrested. They could have been arrested without... They'd have to have the Roman authority to do it. But they wanted to see what Jesus would do. But you know what I love about Jesus? Jesus sees everything. Now remember, now Jesus is standing there. He's right there. He's stooping down to the ground. He's taking this moment. He's got scribes. He's got Pharisees over here. He's got the people that he was teaching that are, there are some believers right in the midst of this thing. They're watching. You got this woman who's standing there and you got this mob around her and everybody's wanting a decision. Everybody is wanting him to say something. What is he going to say? What is Jesus going to say? I believe he sees the woman. I believe he sees her sin. She's guilty. But I see also that Jesus chooses something else. Jesus says, he who is without sin, you cast the first stone. So he spins it around. He says, okay, if you guys that don't have any sin, you pick up the rock and you start doing what you got to do. And nobody does it. And it says by their conscience, they begin one by one to fall away. Out of this mob, they begin to fall away. And it started with the older people first. So we can see there was a mix of age groups in there. Until there really was no one there. He's kind of stooped down, like it taking everything off of him and putting it on everybody else. And this crowd begins to fade away. I want you to remember, there's still people there. It says everyone left. The crowd means everyone left. There are still people there that he was teaching. There were still the Pharisees there. That's why I just say the story doesn't end really. At verse 11, it continues to go on. A lot more good stuff comes and continues on. But Jesus sees this woman. The woman is still there. She's still standing there. She's caught in her sin. She knows what she's done. And Jesus chooses compassion. He chooses mercy and he chooses forgiveness. And it's all bottled up in love. And he does that. And he tells this woman, he asks this woman, "Woman, where are your accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, Lord." She calls him Lord. She didn't call him Rabbi. She didn't call him Jesus. She called him, "No, my Lord." And then he says, "Neither do I condemn you." Go and sin no more. Now, some people would say maybe, "Oh man, she got a free ride." No, she didn't get a free ride. Believe me, she's still walking away broken, embarrassed, humiliated, hearing the whispers. Oh, her name is ruined in town, believe me. Her name is ruined in town. Her name is no good now. Now let's spin this for a minute. Take your most vilest, sinful moment, and you know what it is. You know what you did. I don't even have to prompt it. I don't even have to ask you. You know what you did. If a crowd took you in front, in the church, and said, and your stuff was thrown up in the church, your stuff, whatever it was, that one thing was thrown up in the church, would you not want to run and hide? Would you not want to get out of town, pack your bags, and move? And there's all kinds of other things spinning in your head because I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And if it was thrown up into the church, you would never want to put your foot back into that church. You would probably wouldn't put your foot into any church. So don't be so hard when other people's junk comes up. Don't be so hasty to judge them. Don't be so hasty to talk and gossip about what they're doing. We are not to look and dislike people because of what they've done. We need to be cautious of how we talk about people. Because here we have this opportunity to learn from this woman and her and what she's done. But I'm asking you, if it was you and you were the example today, how would it feel for you? How would it feel? I don't want mine out there. Because here's the thing, you would never look at me the same. And I'm telling you, I'd probably never look at you the same. The only way I could look at you the same would be if I had the eyes and the heart of Christ. And I do. I have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. And when I look at someone and I make the wrong accusation and I begin to gossip, or if I say something I shouldn't say, listen, the Holy Spirit begins to convict me for speaking like that. Because it could have easily been me in that place, or it could easily been you in that place. And I'm thanking God today for His compassion, His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace, and definitely His love. We have to be cautious about how we talk about others. Jesus didn't just, He did a couple of things. One, He said, "Where are your accusers?" I want to ask you today, aren't you so glad that Jesus forgave you? But that junk don't have to step up in front, because this is what it is. Jesus says, "Where are your accusers?" And how many of y'all have something that nobody knows about and you're thanking God nobody knows about it? Yeah, amen to that. He tells the woman, "Neither do I. Neither do I condemn you." She calls Him Lord. And He says, "Neither do I condemn you." And He says, "Go." Listen, that sin is forgiving, and it's forgiven, but it doesn't mean like she's just off the hook for everything. He said, "Go. Go. Free. But don't sin no more." Basically, He says, "Don't do that again. Don't do that again. Don't do that again." That woman went away. She came broken. Now, I believe there's a part of her that left still broken. But I'm telling you, she left with hope. Where when she was in front of that crowd, there's no hope. There's no hope. But I want to tell you, if Jesus is in the midst, there's always hope. There is always hope. Always hope. But the conversation doesn't stop there. Remember, there's a crowd of people. He continues to go on. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "Okay, now the mob's gone. The adulterous lady's gone. Now it's back to us. Now we're going to get serious, people." Jesus says, "We're going to get serious now." He says this. He says, verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again and said, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' And the Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.'" They missed the whole thing that just happened. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" They are missing everything. He says, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not come. That means they were stirring up. They were getting angry. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and when I die," verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And He said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world." In verse 24, He says, "Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Let me tell you, you need Jesus Christ in your life. If you don't, your sins are yours. And the Bible says you will die in your sins and you'll be separated from God. You will die in your sins. Verse 31 says this, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed. Now that he's talking to the group who believes, there is a part of that group that are believers. He says to that group, then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There is a difference between non-believers and believers. There is a difference. It doesn't say there is a difference between church members. Let me tell you, just because we're church members doesn't mean we're a believer. We don't get to heaven by church membership. It is by knowing Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:12 says this, he who has a son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It all comes having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have all been this woman caught in sin. Every one of us. It doesn't mean that someone had caught you. It means this, that God sees everything. God sees everything. You are not guilty because no one saw you. No one has to see you to be guilty. Because God sees all things. So God, if God sees all things, and we know that is true, then what the sins that we commit, they are ours. Those acts that we do against God, those are sins. The iniquity, living an iniquity lifestyle is a totally godless lifestyle. Living in sin. Now, I told you we'd come back to the part of the body. Okay? Now, we talked about that body being the temple. Our body is a temple. Okay? Our body is a temple. We wreck the temple from time to time. We put things in it that makes us not think straight. We don't act right. We do things that we shouldn't do. We have sex outside of marriage. See, God created sex, but it's inside the marriage of a man and a woman. Okay? You got to go to the Bible. Okay? I don't care about your opinion. You shouldn't care about my opinion. It's about what God's Word says. And our body is a temple. Because He doesn't dwell in buildings built by men, but in the hearts of men. The hearts of believers. Because the Holy Spirit comes in to believers. And if our body is a temple, then we need to take care of it. We need to take care of the body. You know, it's kind of funny when I throw out when I'm thinking sometimes when we throw out the adulterous woman, man, we hard and heavy on it. This woman's caught in adultery. This is what I was talking about. You know, that we think that is worse than everything else. It does affect the body. It's a sin against the body, against the temple. But so is putting drugs into your body. So is drinking and becoming obliterated and drunk. That's trashing the body. So is like overeating. It can be trashing the body. I'm not going to get into tattoos. You all know how I feel about that. But again, I can go back in Leviticus and see it. I'm not saying I'm going to go out there and start taking them all off. I'm not saying that. If you have one, it's okay. Whatever. But here's what I'm saying. Your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And some of our bodies, we look at it and go, what does God want to do with this thing? Right? What does God want to do with this thing? I'm getting kind of old. I'm getting kind of, I'm out of shape. My body's broken down. Listen, it's still a temple. You take care of it. If you live in a mansion, that's fine. You live in a shack, that's fine. As long as you keep it clean, baby. As long as you keep it clean. That's what God wants. You keep it clean. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling there. The Holy Spirit is dwelling there. And the world wants to say, it's your body. You do with what you want with it. You go out and you have to do this, do that, do this, do that. As long as you feel good. No. I thought we just read a part that I was bought at a price. I was bought at a price. And here's the awesome, cool thing about it. This woman was brought to Jesus, whose body was all messed up. Sin all over her. And Jesus chooses compassion. Mercy. Forgiveness. He didn't condemn her. Sometimes I think things just need to be between not everybody, a person and all their stuff and everybody else. Sometimes the sin we have in our life, it don't need to be shared with everybody else. I know we're to cast our burdens with one another and share those things from time to time, but I'm telling you, sometimes we just need to get right with Jesus. We need to spend time with Him. Let Him do some work. Let Him speak into your life. You want the conviction gone from what you're doing. Listen, that conviction is the Holy Spirit weighing down on you on the lifestyle that you're not supposed to be living, what you're doing with the body, whatever it is that it just weighs on you. And the only way you can get rid of it, you can't talk it out, you can't work it out, you can't pull it out. The only way that can be released is if Jesus releases it, and that you have to talk to Him about it. You have to talk to Him about it. Listen, I believe this, and I believe this with all my heart. There's nothing you're going through that Jesus can't handle. You just don't believe hard enough. Your faith is not ignited. You need to believe that Jesus, if you believe in Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't say that unless you believe it. So many people misuse that scripture. They'll use it. You got to believe it. But I'm telling you, there's nothing you're going through that Jesus cannot handle. I've been a Christian for a long time, since 1978. That's a long time for me. And I'm telling you, there's nothing I've been through that Jesus wasn't able to handle. In my life's worst, in my own worst, He's pulled me through. He's worked it through. He can do what only He can do. When it looks like there's a crowd and there's a mob around you, and it looks like all this stuff, and it looks like there's only two ways to go, and it ain't good either way, somehow Jesus opens a door where there was no door. But I'll tell you, it begins with repentance. It begins with seeking God. It begins with asking Jesus and talking to Him about the stuff you're going through and confessing it before Him. And then He begins to work. And it doesn't always look like the way you think it is, but I'm telling you, when you go through it, you know He's with you. You know He's with you. And sometimes, some of you know what I'm talking about. When you have gone through something, and even your best people look like they were doing some of this. Doesn't mean you had sin in you, whatever you were going through. I'm just saying, some of your best people were just kind of shying away from you. You felt it. But Jesus stuck firm. Because He said He'd never leave you, nor forsake you. I'm telling you, Jesus is in the temple, working with people, just like the adulterous woman, helping people get through the junk they're going through. But you can't get it right until you get in front of Jesus. Amen? So, well, at this moment, we're getting ready to do a part where we have, like we call, an altar call. It isn't about me. It isn't about the church. It's about you and the Holy Spirit and what He's working with you about. And sometimes the Holy Spirit works on one part of you that wasn't even a part of what we're talking about today. He just has a way of doing things. But I always believe when a group of people get together, the Bible says it, where two or three are together, the Lord is in the midst. I believe the Lord is here today. I believe He wants to work with some of us. I believe there's a few that He wants to work with a little bit more than He does others, because that's what's needed today. Let me tell you something. If you got something in your life that you had and you put back and you put a skeleton key, you put it in a closet and you put the key in there and you locked it and you threw the key away, that's like Pilate doing this and acting like it never happened. My hands are washed. Doesn't matter. Still yours. Doesn't matter what you say. It's still your closet. It's still your junk. And it could be something that's 20, 30, 40 years old. If you haven't dealt with it with Jesus, I'm telling you, you haven't dealt with it in the right way. And this morning, we'll give you an opportunity to deal with whatever you need to with Christ. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Give you that opportunity.